This is Everson Griffin, and you are listening to the Wobcast hosted by Wobby.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park with Nate Vaughn. The Vikings are 3-0, and we plan Monday Night Football. Lots of cool stuff happening here at Winter Park and with your favorite football team. Kind of a weird week when you plan Monday night. For all the working folk out there, your week starts on Monday. For NFL teams, the week kind of starts on Wednesday because that's the first day you practice for a game on Sunday. But when you play on Monday night, you really don't begin practicing and begin your weekly routine until Thursday. So a weird week around Winter Park for the Vikings, but they have begun their on-field preparations in earnest for the New York Football Giants. Lots of fun stuff ahead over the weekend and on Monday night at U.S. Bank Stadium for the Vikings. So, a little weekly recap and some talking points leading up to this game for the Vikings against the Giants. Hey, look, another injury. The injuries have been mounting for the Vikings. It kind of began with Teddy Bridgewater before the season started and has gone through the likes of Adrian Peterson and Matt Khalil and Sharif Floyd. Xavier Rhodes was battling it, but now he's back. Well, we got another one. Alex Boone with a leg injury of some sort. The actual injury will be disclosed on the injury report here at the later part of this week. His status is in question. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer is optimistic that Boone can make it, but of course, whenever a guy is injured, there's a chance that he won't make it back to play that week. So we'll be watching that, monitoring that. The Vikings did activate Willie Beavers from the practice squad to the active roster, which tells you the Vikings are at least preparing for the possibility that Boone can't make it. All of that, not good news. The good news is the man who came in to play for Alex Boone last week when Boone had to leave the game 19 plays into the game was Jeremiah Searles, and he played pretty well. Vikings offensive line gave up 2 sacks in the first half, but in the second half they played a pretty clean game. The first drive of the second half was like a 10-play, 70-some-yard drive that resulted in a touchdown, so the offensive line obviously got into a rhythm and played pretty well against a tough Panthers defense in the second half. Jeremiah Searles was a big part of that.
How did you evaluate T.J. Clement's day yesterday?
I thought he did pretty well. He did a nice job in pass protection, used his hands well. You know, there's some good, really good things in the running game. Obviously, there was some other issues, but I think for the first time, I was pretty good.
In terms of how he looked last year, did you see a step forward from him? In terms
of especially the past? Yeah, a lot better.
Than last year?
Well, I think his sets, I think the way he's carrying his hands, you know, he's not lunging.
Did you see Jeremiah Searles to kind of make him the next man up for you?
Well, he plays a lot of positions, and you know, we gave him a lot of work at guard this last week anyway. So, but he went in there and did a really good job. He got to the second level, did a nice job in pass protection, did a good job.
The Vikings are off to a 3-0 start. A big reason for that, their defense. Now the accolades are coming in for your Vikings team, Nate. You look at the power rankings, you look at players of the week, whatever it may be, lots of Vikings inclusion in all of that. The Vikings, number 3 or number 4 in all of the power rankings that we monitor, NFL, ESPN, SB Nation, Fox Sports, Bleacher Report, Pro Football Talk, USA Today, Yahoo Sports, all of those outlets have the Vikings at either number 3 or number 4 in the power rankings. Now, power rankings a lot like mock drafts, Nate. I mean, you don't take them as gospel, but they are kind of fun to take a look and see what people are thinking about your team.
Especially when they're saying really nice things about your team.
Yes, yes. The power rankings article that we do where it's just like mock madness. We basically survey the internet and list the power rankings that each outlet does. That article does like really well when the Vikings are like in the top 10.
People love rankings and lists and things like that.
So reason 17,491 why the Vikings should try and win the game on Monday night is the power rankings article on Tuesday will do really well.
Yeah, I think I saw that on Coach Zimmer's list of things to talk about in team meetings.
Good. So. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that, Coach Zim. Everson Griffin, Defensive Player of the Week. Now, that makes three straight Player of the Week awards this season for the Vikings. Stephon Diggs got the Offensive Player of the Week 1 week, and Eric Kendricks got Defensive Player of the Week 1 week. So, dating back now to last year in the regular season, that's five straight regular season weeks where the Vikings have had a defense, offense, or special teams Player of the Week. Kyle Rudolph for tight ends, Marcus Sherrills for return men, and Everson Griffin for defensive ends, all atop Pro Football Focus's weekly positional grades as well. So the accolades continue to come in for your Vikings. Now, big reason for that is the defense. They are leading the way. No disrespect to the special teams groups, which have also done really, really well. A big reason for the accolades, though, is the Vikings defense. Number three in the NFL in scoring defense. So, one of our favorite podcasts here between Nate and I. Besides the Wobcast. Is DDFP. Everyone knows what that stands for.
Yeah.
The Dave Domaschek Football Program. It debates what is better, the Vikings defense or the Broncos defense. Aside from Dave, you've got Maurice Jones-Drew and Ike Taylor weighing in.
Next issue to debate here, better defense, the Denver Broncos, who went into Cincy and really shut down the Red Rifle and Company, and the Minnesota Vikings going into Charlotte, North Carolina, and dispatching Cam and Company. Mr. JD, I start with you.
This is a tougher question. I think they both do things really well, but I have to go with the no-fly zone and Von Miller. That Denver defense, I mean, I feel like they have Trevor Siemian at quarterback, and they're putting him in position to go out there and make plays. And they know if the offense scores 11 points, they'll win the game. That's crazy to me.
Well, I mean, he's doing more than just, you know, not turning the ball over. I mean, he went into Cincy
Cincy made him throw the ball, and he showed him that he could. But still, you know, if you know going in that I can score 11 points and win a game, then that takes a lot of pressure off your quarterback. Where I think Minnesota, yes, they do some really good things, but sometimes their defense isn't as consistent. Mm-hmm. And I think you have a more consistent.
Simeon's got a hose, by the way. Mr. Taylor, your response.
Yeah, I got to go with them with defense. And the reason why I got to go with the defense, you have three starters at the cornerback position. You know, you have Tlaib, you have Chris Harris Jr., and Bradley Roby at that cornerback position, which is rare and hard to find in the NFL. Let alone, you know, DeMarcus Ware gets hurt. So now you got Shane Ray. He's really stepping up. You got Von Miller, who just got paid, dancing with the stars. Matter of fact, he's dancing with his money. So he's been the Von Miller of old from last year. So when you have a group of guys who not only that's good on the field, but it's a takeaway machine. Now, don't get me wrong. Minnesota Vikings, they're taking the ball, and they're scoring on defense, too. It's just like MJD said, but as a complete defense, when you got a guy, I think especially when it's secondary, you can pretty much match up and line up against anybody. It's kind of hard. And when you got Von Miller, you got veteran guys to leave who plays with nothing but heart and passion. You got guys who live for that moment, for that defense. I like what the Minnesota Vikings are doing. I just like better with the Denver Broncos and their mentality.
Trick question. The answer is neither is the wrong answer. Those defenses are just dynamite.
Okay. We have to talk about this. I got some problems here. Now, MJD and Ike played in the NFL. They know more about the NFL than I do, and they do actually know more than you as well, Nate.
Yes, so, that's true.
We'll acknowledge and admit that. With that being said, I have some issues. MJD saying Denver's defense is more consistent. I mean, the Vikings have given up, 16, 14, and 10 points. So if anything, they're getting better each game.
Right. We'll be down to zero in no time.
Yeah, we're trending toward zero. And my man MJD also says that, you know, the Broncos defense is making it so that Siemian can just be a caretaker of the football. He's coming off a game where he went to Cincinnati and threw four touchdown passes. That's not being a caretaker. So I got a little issue with what MJD said, and Ike Taylor says he favors Denver because they have three starters at cornerback.
Well, most teams do, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we don't have depth at corner. I mean, we rotated corners last week. That's what we got going at corner right now. We're rotating him in and out. you know, and he mentioned like DeMarcus Ware goes down and Shane Ray steps up. I mean, that's what we've been doing. I mean, injured guys going down and guys stepping up in their place. I mean,
Danielle Hunter is basically our third defensive end, and he has a touchdown and a safety already this season.
And he's our third defensive end. And Sharif Floyd's not playing. Well, what happens? Well, Shamar Stephen steps in. Xavier Rhodes down early in the season. What's Trey Waynes do? Well, he comes in and plays and has two picks already. So, I mean, how do you like our depth now? And so I just really, like, I'd like to have a conversation with MJD and Ike Taylor about this. Not going to happen. But those guys, much respect. So they favor Denver's defense, so this is just more bulletin board material for us.
That's
more
a good defense to be compared with in the first place.
It is. That's a good point. And they did win the Super Bowl last year. So, and they're undefeated. So I guess we'll give them the nod. I think you're splitting hairs here. Both defenses obviously really good. Broncos have Super Bowl equity, and they're undefeated. So much respect to MJD and Ike Taylor, all kidding aside. Cool to play on Monday Night Football. That's what we get to do this week.
Two primetime home games in a row.
Yes. To kick off the regular season at US Bank Stadium, you get Sunday Night Football, which is the biggest stage in football. And then you get Monday Night Football, which is like the most the most heralded, the most history-rich stage in the NFL is the Monday Night Football stage. So it's glitzy and it's glamorous. You'll have Randy Moss and Susie Colbert and Trent Dilfer and John Gruden. They're all going to be in town broadcasting our game, so hopefully we can look good. It's always fun to play on Monday night. Now, you remember against the Packers, Nate, when Chris Carter was up on the screen with Greg Coleman for the alumni interview, the place went nuts. Be pretty cool to see Moss being interviewed on that screen.
Mm-hmm.
Place would go nuts there, too. The flip side of the cool part about playing on Monday Night Football, the flip side is you got a short week the following week because you played on Monday and now you got a game on Sunday. So it's one less day to prepare for your upcoming opponent. For the Vikings, that's going to be the Houston Texans. That's who the Vikings play next week. Now, we know that J.J. Watt is going to be down for a while because he was placed on IR. So that's good news, but they still have good defense behind J.J. Watt. They got Vince Wilfork. They got Jadeveon Clowney. I believe they signed Antonio Smith. They have Jonathan Joseph at corner. Brian Cushing is a good linebacker. So still some good players on that Houston defense. And then on offense, they got DeAndre Hopkins, who's obviously a really good player. And then Will Fuller, who's off to a great start as a rookie, playing receiver for them. Lamar Miller, a free agent signing at running back. So Brock Osweiler, a big addition in the offseason as well. So the Houston Texans will not be a pushover. That'll be a stiff challenge for the Vikings on a short week after their Monday Night Football game against the Giants.
All right, for our player we should be talking about,
We're
going to talk about the guy who would be preparing to face J.J. Watt on a few of those snaps.
Yes.
Guy who stepped in, played left tackle against Carolina, no slouch of a defense there. And we think he played pretty well because we didn't really hear much about him. T.J. Clemmings.
Yeah, and that's the whole deal with this. Player we should be talking about segment is a guy who normally when you talk about them, it means they're not playing well. Right?
Right.
Offensive lineman.
Right.
But T.J. Clemmings is the guy. First time playing left tackle in the NFL, it was a start against the defending NFC champion Carolina Panthers on the road. So as good a test as you could have, and T.J. Clemmings passed the test. I don't know how well he played if you wanted to get some exactness on this, some specificity, what his grade would be. I have no idea, but I mean, you didn't hear Coney Ealy's name called very much. He's the right defensive end for the Carolina Panthers, and that's who T.J. Clemmings was blocking all game. So that's good.
One of our three threats from last week.
And he was, that's right, and T.J. Clemmings made him not a threat. So faced a tough Carolina front, did not hear his name called once. Also, I will say another part of the challenge for T.J. was Alex Boone leaving the game. You have a solid veteran playing next to you who can help you through your first start at left tackle on the road, and he leaves. Now you got a guy who you probably didn't practice much with playing next to you. And communication, as we know, is key along the offensive line, but T.J. Clemmings didn't miss a beat, thought he played pretty well, was an important part of the Vikings' victory. So bravo, T.J. Clemmings. Keep it up. And what does he have as a reward for playing so well last week? Oh, just Olivier Vernon coming to town. So doesn't get any easier for him, and it won't, because when you play left tackle, you are playing the other team's best pass rusher week in and week out, and that's going to happen to T.J. Clemmings this week against Olivier Vernon, and it's probably going to happen next week when he goes against Jadeveon Clowney.
And you mentioned Alex Boone going down.
Mm-hmm.
I might be stealing your plan for next week's player we should be talking about, but Jeremiah Searles right next to him also stepped in, like you said earlier, and we didn't hear much about him either. And, you know, like we said, that's a good thing for offensive linemen.
And if he plays well, you will hear a lot about him on the Wobcast because he is the early favorite to be the player we should be talking about feature next week.
Fan mail.
Okay.
First question.
Mm-hmm.
How come the Vikings aren't playing Treadwell? Says Lynn.
Well, they played him in... They technically played him in week one because he suited up, but he did not get on the field. He was active as well in week two and had some snaps. I don't think he had any targets. And then in week three, he was inactive. We should not be freaking out about this, and here's why. The Vikings are, I'm going to call them a well-oiled machine as a team. It's an 11-win team from last year with big-time aspirations this year. A lot of returning starters on both sides of the ball. This is a team that's in the third year under Mike Zimmer. They're starting to gain some rhythm, and they're starting to go. So it's going to be hard for rookies to break in to that type of environment. So you got, I mean, look at Trey Waynes. You know, Trey Waynes was the ninth overall pick last year and did not play much on defense till the end of the season. And it's starting to pay off right now for Trey because he's playing really well. He's got interceptions in back-to-back games to start his second year in the NFL. So, and Stephon Diggs last year did not play until week four. So it's not time to freak out on Treadwell. Everything is going fine. I think the coaches just want to see more consistency from him in practice. Not that he's inconsistent or practicing poorly. I just think they want to see a larger body of work from him in practice before they put him out there in a game for a team that's 3-0, trying to go 4-0 and trying to defend a division title. So not time to freak out yet on Laquon Treadwell. Everything is going fine. And by the way, we have Diggs, Thielen, who are both playing really well. Charles Johnson, who earned the starting spot during the offseason program. And you're trying to work in Cordarrelle Patterson and Jarius Wright as well. So it's not like we're lacking for depth and playmaking ability at the wide receiver position.
Second question. How does the coaching staff get the team to not have a slow start?
I'm not going to put that on the coaching staff. I'm going to give the coaching staff credit for getting things turned around at halftime, which they did in week one at Tennessee and in week three at Carolina. But I'm not going to blame the coaching staff for not having the players ready to start off well. I think you put that on the players. With that being said, you give the players a lot of credit too because it's a poised group that stays committed to the coach's plan. That's why they're able to play well in the second half. So I think this comes down to the players executing better early in the game. And they know this. We heard Sam Bradford talk about this during the week, that they want to get off to a better start. So, and the thing is, with the way the defense is playing, if you got off to a really good start, it'd be really hard for another team to come back on you. So it'd be fun to see the Vikings get off to a good start on Monday night.
And even the way the defense is playing, if the offense does get off to a slow start, if the defense is still what we've come to expect from the defense, you know, it's not going to be a super huge hole to dig your way out of at halftime.
Right. And that's part of the identity of this team is the resiliency to overcome slow starts. You don't want to have to rely on that all season, though. You want to be a team that can start fast, especially at home, in a game in which you'll be favored. So hopefully we see that Monday night.
Todd from Dubai, listening in Dubai. Do you think Cam Newton's ridiculous celebration after his touchdown served to fire up your Minnesota Vikings?
No, because I got a feeling that Mike Zimmer got him fired up, not Cam Newton. That's my guess.
It's a good guess.
Yeah. No, you come to expect that from Cam, I think. I think you're fired up. The part about Cam Newton where he's very charismatic and outgoing and flamboyant and energy-filled, you see that in pregame. So if that fires you up, you're fired up going into the game. And you've seen Cam do that to other teams during the game. So if that is something that fires you up as a player, you're fired up about that already. I think what turned things around for the Vikings was a coaching staff in that game at Carolina.
Our final fan mail is from Barb. Quite a submission from Barb. So hang with me because it's going to take a little bit to get through this, but it's good stuff.
I love our fans. They have lots of thoughts and passion.
Barb says, I'm so proud of our guys and Coach Zimmer. Even when down at the half, their unselfishness and love for each other pulls them through. Coach Zimmer is like a loving dad. He sometimes has to discipline, but does so because he loves the team. The guys respect him for that, and you can see it in the way they play. I'm a proud Minnesotan living in San Diego. Can't wait for Monday night so I can watch my team beat the Giants. Emoji, smiley face, Barb.
Good. I like the smiley face emoji in there. I think a lot of Vikings fans feel the way Barb feels. Mike Zimmer could run for governor in this state.
Yeah.
And he might win. And he's very popular in the locker room, and it's for the exact reason that Barb says. You know, I've always said about Coach Zimmer, he walks or has struck a great balance of being a disciplinarian and being stoic, but being a player's coach at the same time. He's able to do both of those things. He knows which buttons to press and when to press them. Bravo, Coach Zimmer. He's got this thing going in the right direction.
Three threats.
Okay.
Just finished some fan mail. Now on to three threats. Three wide receivers set with OBJ, Sterling Shepard, and Victor Cruz is threat number one.
Yeah, I couldn't quite decide on which of these three to put in three threats, so I cheated and made number one on three threats be all three. I cheated, but
that's all right.
It's a good way to get everyone in.
Yep.
Here's the important thing to remember about these three guys and this Vikings-Giants matchup. The Vikings walloped the Giants last year, 49-17.
I remember that.
None of these guys played in that game.
Uh-huh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So Odell Beckham, I believe, was suspended. Victor Cruz was injured, and Sterling Shepard was playing for the Oklahoma Sooners. So different ball game here going against this offense with these three receivers now in the fold. And I did a little bit of a third down study on these New York football Giants. On third down, first of all, they're in 11 personnel for every third down snap this year except for one.
Which means?
11 personnel is one running back and one tight end.
Gotcha.
And three receivers. So there are five eligible receivers on every play. The personnel grouping that is labeled with a number refers to the running backs and the tight ends. So 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end. If it's 12 personnel, it's one running back and two tight ends, and the rest are receivers. So for the Giants on third down, they're going to have one running back on the field, one tight end on the field, and three wide receivers. It's going to be Cruz, Beckham, and Shepard. Manning on third down has targeted Cruz the most, 8 times, Shepard the second most, 7 times, and Beckham the third most, 5 times, among those three receivers. So Victor Cruz is back. I mean, we've been without Victor Cruz for a couple of seasons, it feels like, with some injuries, but my man Victor Cruz is back, and he's looking pretty good, and Sterling Shepard is a nice little rookie that they found out of the University of Oklahoma. So those three wide receivers and the three wide receiver set is a threat for the Vikings defense on Monday night.
Another trio is threat number two, the three defensive free agent signings they had this offseason. Olivier Vernon, Damon Harrison, and Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins, of course, from the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. Nice signing by them, has really solidified their secondary. He, along with Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, gives the Giants a really good duo at cornerback. They also used a first-round pick on Eli Apple. So they have three good corners now. Rogers-Cromartie and Apple, their status for this game will be uncertain all the way up until the game because they're both injured, I believe. But Janoris Jenkins will be out there. Olivier Vernon came to the Giants via free agency from the Miami Dolphins. Lots of sacks during his career. It gives the Giants a pass-rushing presence. He is their right defensive end. He will be going against TJ Clemmings. Their other defensive end is Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, when Vernon leaves the game, Pierre-Paul will come over and be the right defensive end. So TJ Clemmings will get a lot of Vernon and a lot of JPP on Monday night. Damon Harrison has one of my favorite nicknames in all of the NFL. His nickname is Snacks.
I like that.
That's a cool
name.
I
like Snacks, and I like that name.
Snacks Harrison. He is really good run defender. And so the interior of our offensive line, Joe Berger at center, and then likely Jeremiah Searles or Alex Boone at left guard, and then Brandon Fusco at right guard, they're going to have to deal with Snacks Harrison.
Finally, the third threat is overconfidence, a psychological threat. Overconfidence against Eli Manning. Why might the Vikings be overconfident against Eli?
Eli is 2-5 against the Vikings. His touchdown to interception ratio is 5-14. It feels like he's thrown 17 pick sixes against us. And the Vikings lead the NFL in sacks. They're number 3 in scoring. And they've made Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton look silly in back-to-back weeks. So everything is pointing toward the Vikings demolishing Eli Manning and the Giants. So you can't be overconfident because that's how this league works. Just when you think you've got something figured out, the thing flips around on you and goes the other way. So can't be overconfident. You have to respect this outfit. New head coach Ben McAdoo is a great offensive mind. He was with the Packers for 2 years, so he's familiar with the Vikings, and we're familiar with his work, and he knows what he's doing. And Eli Manning is a two-time Super Bowl winner. So he's very capable of coming in here on a big stage and playing well. So you cannot be overconfident against him. You have to mind your P's and Q's, make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. And at the end of the day, get the Giants' offense into third and longs, and you'll be able to get after Manning. But if you don't get him into third and longs, you're not going to get after Eli Manning. They're really good in the no huddle. I did a little study on Eli in the no huddle earlier in the week. They use the no huddle to generate a rhythm and to get things going on offense, which is particularly effective and useful when you're on the road because it's harder to get that rhythm. They also use the no huddle to neutralize the pass rush because you go no huddle and it gives – and if you do the hurry up along with the no huddle, it can help to slow down the pass rush. And that's what I expect the Giants will do on Monday night. They will come out in no huddle, somewhat of a hurry up, somewhat not. Sometimes they quick snap it, sometimes they don't. But you don't know if they're going to or not, so you got to be ready for it. So either way, you can slow down your pass rush. I think you'll be out of the gun, and I think they'll use the quick game to keep Everson Griffin off of Eli Manning and help neutralize that pass rush. And so if you can tackle well, you can kind of make that plan not work. But if you don't tackle well and they gain yards after the catch, they can kind of generate a rhythm and move down the field on you. So I have an article up right now on Vikings.com that you can go read more about the Giants' no-huddle offense and how the Vikings might try and contend with it and how the Giants will try and use it to get things going on offense.
One of those guys getting after Eli this weekend will be Linval Joseph, former Giant, former teammates with Eli. Linval has a sack in three straight games to start this season.
Yes.
3-0, three sacks each, not each game, but one each game.
Yeah, he's on
fire.
For
Linval, that would be some kind of record, don't you think?
That'd be nine sacks in three games. Yeah, that would do it.
Fairly impressive.
Yeah.
But if you look back at last year, he only had half a sack all year.
Which is super hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a double take on the facts. Couldn't believe the facts.
Half a sack.
But they are facts.
Right.
The facts are that he had half a sack all year, but has three already this year. So, is it a trend or is it a trap?
I think it's a trend. I don't think he's going to have one sack a game. I don't think Linval's going to have 16 sacks this year. But he does have one in each game this season. And that gives him three for the year. And I think he's going to be 8-9 sack defensive tackle. And I think he's going to go to the Pro Bowl because of that. Now, he's been a Pro Bowl caliber player for at least the last season or two. But these quarterback sacks are going to – it's going to get him noticed a little bit more. It's a peer vote. So all of his buddies across the league who watch SportsCenter and NFL Total Access and watch highlights are finally going to see Linval Joseph bringing quarterbacks down instead of just running backs behind the line of scrimmage. So I think this is a trend. I think Linval will be more of a pass rushing presence this season, and I'm on trend on this one. This will be a regular segment that we'll put in the Wobcast throughout the regular season. Trend or Trap, brought to you by Luke Burson Industries. And we'll find a cool stat or two and put it in there, and we'll debate whether or not we think it's a trend or a trap. I think this is a trend. More sacks coming from Linval. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I'll definitely take more sacks.
Good.
Like we said, we couldn't believe he only had half a sack last year. So it was more of a surprise that he didn't have more last year than it is that he has three already this year.
That's a good way to put it.
So it's been fun to watch him so far this year. And his sack celebration.
It's cool.
I mean, it's up there in the top of the league.
Yes.
I think.
It's a soft toss to yourself and a home run swing.
A home run swing where he just like spins around like 1.5 times.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is cool. It's also funny to watch any referees that are close. They get pretty scared.
Look out.
Like, I mean, because he's just swinging those arms. He's not looking where they're going. So
that will leave a mark if he hits you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Cool stat of the day since week 4 in 2014, which was what?
Stephon Diggs' first game.
He and Doug Baldwin are the only two receivers in the NFL to amass at least 1,000 receiving yards and average fewer than 7 targets per game. Both average 6.9 targets per game. So describe the stat a little bit to me.
Basically,
what you're doing there is how efficient are you in your targets to a receiver? Yeah, great. Guy had seven catches for 100 yards in the game, but if you threw him 20 passes, it's not cool that he only had seven catches.
Right.
So what this stat is telling you is that when the Vikings target Diggs, they're getting their money's worth out of it because he's got 1,000 yards since week four last year, and he's not getting a ton of targets. And so now you can't just increase his targets and think that his totals are going to go up. You know, you got to keep being efficient with it. But so far, the Vikings have been very efficient in getting the ball to Stephon Diggs. When you target Diggs, good things happen. Don't be surprised if Diggs' targets continue to rise now that Sam Bradford is under center. And Diggs is now a full season into his career. He's 16 games into his career. Even though he's in the middle of his second season, he was inactive for the first three games last year. He's played three games this year. So he's now a full season in terms of games played. One of our writers here at Vikings.com, Eric Smith, took a look at his first 16 games, measured where he is compared to some other receivers in their first 16 games, and in the last 16 games, Stephon Diggs ranks among some of the league's best.
All right, finally, let's do some over-unders.
Here we go.
Eli Manning interceptions. We've talked a lot about potential overconfidence against Eli, but maybe not unwarranted because of his bad track record against the Vikings, especially as of late. We talked about the game against the Giants week 16 last year at home.
Three picks.
Yeah. Not his best game.
No, definitely
one
not.
One of our best of the year.
It
probably
was. 49-17 we won.
So if we put the over-under of Eli interceptions at 1.5 for this game, what would you choose?
I would choose over. I would go over on this, and it's not because I'm hating on Eli Manning. I have respect for him, and he's a two-time Super Bowl winner, and right now he's completing a high percentage of his passes. But I think the Vikings have a shot to play really well on Monday night. I think they're confident. They're playing at home, and the last time they played at home, I really liked how Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph were working. I think the running game is close to being where the team needs it to be. And so I think Monday night the Vikings are poised to play really well and maybe start fast, and that is going to put the Giants' offense behind the eight ball. It's going to force them to throw the ball a bunch, and the Vikings are tied for second in the NFL in interceptions. They have a +8 turnover margin, and they have a great pass rush. To me, that's a recipe for some interceptions on Monday night.
The subject of your cool stat of the day, Stephon Diggs. How many receptions will he have? Will it be over or under 6.5? It's going to be hard for him to get exactly 6.5.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah.
He'd be the first one in NFL history to have 6.5 catches in a game.
I'd have to look that up, but you're probably right.
I'm going over then. You're not going to even have to worry about it. Okay. It's going to be over that. He's going to be targeted a bunch, and he's going to catch a bunch. As we've already explained, when he's targeted, he makes a bunch of catches. He looked great at U.S. Bank Stadium in Week 2. I think there's something to that. He's playing in U.S. Bank Stadium on Monday night, as far as we know. And so I think Diggs has a nice night. No disrespect to the Giants' secondary, but I think the Vikings will lean on the passing game on Monday night, and I think Diggs will be a benefactor of that. So I'm over 6.5.
All right, we had two options for this last over-under. The first option was the number of times your favorite announcer, John Gruden, says the term spider Y banana. Is that what it is?
He loves that play.
How many times he says that in the broadcast, but that would require work on one of our parts.
To go back and review it?
To go back and review said broadcast. So we're going to conveniently skip over that option, and we're going to go with the other option.
Okay.
Over or under 4.5 pivoting glass doors pivoted to the open position on Monday evening.
Okay.
Because I think there's five, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Some people are probably mad at me for not knowing that for sure, but I'm 98% sure there's five doors.
Well, if they are, we know they listen to the Wobcast, and those who would get mad at you for that, them listening to the Wobcast would be super cool.
That would be cool.
I kind of hope they do get mad at you.
So hi.
No offense.
Everybody.
What's up, man? Okay, I'm over on this. 72 degrees and sunny all day on Monday.
Mm.
It can't get that much colder by kickoff at 7:15-ish.
Although it has been pretty chilly this week.
But 72 and sunny all day, man. The air is going to be nice and warm downtown. I'm on the over. I think it's Monday Night Football, beautiful day in the fall in Minnesota, pivoting glass doors. Open. Give me the over. I'm over on all three of the over-unders this week.
Over, over, and over.
Mark me down.
That's all we got.
All right. That's a jam-packed show. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. Exciting Monday Night Football game coming up. Make sure you check it out. It, of course, is broadcast on the television by ESPN.
Enjoy the games on Sunday, not having to worry about how well your team plays.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that when...
That is cool.
When, like, my favorite college team has the week off, I'm like, oh, I can relax and watch these games.
Right.
Not worry about it.
And just be stress-free.
Maybe that says more about me than
No, I think you're pretty common. The only caveat to that is going to be most people, I think, who listen to us and who listen to this podcast, that they play fantasy football, so they're going to be stressed out about their fantasy team on Sunday still.
Good point.
But enjoy it nonetheless, and then enjoy the game on Monday night, broadcast on the television by ESPN. But, of course, the game will be broadcast on the Vikings Radio Network. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Ben Lieber, and Greg Coleman will be bringing you the call. Make sure you check out the Vikings app. Lots of cool photos, lots of cool highlights, shot by Nate Vaughn, among others. Coach Zimmer's post-game press conference on the Vikings app. All of our coverage from the game you can catch right there. And then before the game, make sure you check out Fox 9 because Vikings Game Day Live is our pregame show. It will air from 6 to 6:30 on Fox 9. A conversation between voice of the Vikings Paul Allen and offensive coordinator Norv Turner will be had on said program. The Vikings Radio Network pregame show will be rocking as well. The Between the Lions postgame report with yours truly and Paul Allen, brought to you by Gatorade, will be happening on the field at U.S. Bank Stadium after the game. So tons of really cool stuff coming up over the next 3 to 4 days, culminating in the Vikings and Giants on Monday Night Football. And then Nate and I will be back for another edition of the Wobcast next week to break down the Vikings game against the Giants and look ahead to the Vikings game against the Houston Texans, which is the Vikings Week 5 contest. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, this is your host Mike Wobshaw signing off for now, wishing you a great weekend and good luck on Monday night. So